In 1954, the director Elia Kazan made the gritty dockside drama On the Waterfront in stark black and white and filmed mostly on location in New York. The film starred a host of tough actors, including Marlon Brando, Carl Malden, and Lee J. Cobb. But at the center of this tale of brutish longshoremen was the delicate performance of an actress named Eva Marie Saint. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Eva Marie Saint made her big screen debut in On the Waterfront, and later that year won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for her performance in the film. On the Waterfront has just been restored and released on Blu-ray by the Criterion Collection, and we remember Miss Saint's visit to El Paso as a special guest of the 2012 Plaza Classic Film Festival. The following conversation was recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 3rd, 2012. Your first film, now you had already been, I think you were 30 when you started this film, and you had already been a veteran actress on the stage, live television, perhaps one of the toughest gigs there were. Mm-hmm. How did Kazan decide you were the one to play this incredible role? Because the whole film, again, pivots around your character.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was in Trip to Bountiful with Lillian Gish, and it was a television show written by Horton Foote, wonderful playwright. And then we did it on Broadway. And Gadge, I'm going to call him Gadge, because we all did, saw me in the play and thought I would be good for Edie on the Waterfront. But he did bring me in to meet Marlon Brando, and we had sort of a little thing we had to do. It was an improvisation. He took me aside, Gadge, and said, "No, you're home alone, but you have an older sister, and her boyfriend is coming to see her, but you're alone, and your motivation is not to let this young man in the house." Seemed easy to me. I don't know what, to this day, I don't know what he told Marlon, but all I know, he got in the house. We started dancing. I had a full skirt, I remember, and he goes like that, and I ended up laughing and crying, because he was larger than life, and it was just an improvisation, but I guess Kazan saw that sparks were flying.
So you're selected, but you're still performing in A Trip to Bountiful, and you start the film. How did that schedule work?
Because we shot in the day, and then I'd go home on the subway, make dinner.
Jeffrey.
Right. This was 54. Yes, as my husband reminded me, now he helps me. But then that's what I did. We all did that. That's okay. And but then I would go to the theater and do the play. And then the next morning, get up very early, go to Hoboken, take the subway, go to Hoboken, and then come back on the tubes and have dinner and then do the play. Luckily, the play closed after, I think, a month or so.
But you kept that up for a month, that schedule?
Yeah, yes, right, yes. And the first scene that I did in the movie was at night, but that was a Monday night, and you're always dark on a Monday night in the theater. So we did that scene.
Amazing. And that was up on the rooftops, I believe?
That was on the rooftop, and all these people were standing around. It was night. And the pigeon coops. I was on the rooftop, and I was supposed to give my dead brother's jacket to Marlon Brando, Terry. And that was my first shot in the film, and it was night, and it was a real apartment that we shot in, and I was up on the rooftop. And Kazan, very different from Hitchcock, would whisper in your ear certain things, and the other actors never knew what he was saying, except you. And he just whispered to me, "Now, Eva Marie, you have to give you're a Catholic girl, you're not used to being out at night, certainly not with this gentleman not far from you. You're going to give him your brother's coat. It's a very emotional scene. And just make believe that there are animals behind every pigeon coop, and you're really nervous." And he went on and on in my ear. And all I'm thinking is, you don't have to tell me about being nervous. I am so nervous because it was my first scene in a movie at night with Marlon Brando.
And every other major actor in the film was from the Actors Studio.
Yes, I was actually crying. I think I cried a lot in those days. But I kind of cried on the way out the door. We lived at 26 West 9th Street in the Village. And I said to Jeff, I said, my husband, I said, oh, my God, I don't have my costume, something about a navy dress. I just feel nervous. And Jeff said, honey, all the actors are from the Actors Studio. You're from the Actors Studio. It's Kazan directing. Have a good time. And he kissed me, and I said, you're right. And from that point on, I had a good time. It just shows you have to have somebody around once in a while to help you. Well, he's been around 60 years, so.
So what did Kazan do? I mean, he's working with an all-actor studio cast. I mean, how did he help you get into this character? Because he really was all about what was inside first.
We forgot Carl Malden, by the way, who
of
plays
course.
The minister. He was wonderful in it. He's from the Actors Studio. Oh.
And Lee J. Cobb.
Lee J. Cobb, Nikki Persoff, Rod Steiger. But there was a love scene, and I'm in my slip. I think I was more modest then. And as an actress, certainly on screen, I was shy about that scene. That's when he approaches me and we have an embrace. The first embrace you see on the screen. And Gadge realized I was having trouble with that as an actress. And he came over and he just whispered in my ear, Jeff. And that's my husband's name. So then I went at it. With Marlon Brando, but you know, you can transfer with me.
One of the hallmarks of this film is that it was shot on location, which was relatively rare in 1953-54, shot on the docks, on the waterfront, in tenements, on the streets of New Jersey. It has a very different look from what we're normally used to seeing, the polished Hollywood look. It was shot in New York, of course. A lot of naturalism. You really have a sense of place. And I'm wondering, within that style, converse to Hitchcock, you know, was there any moments when he had to dial back performances, Kazan did, because he was going for such realism, mm-hmm. and, you know, an actor might at some point want to go a little bigger with his performance? I mean, did you ever see evidence that he had to pull back on anybody?
I remember, that's interesting, I think his last name was Hamilton, played my father, and in that scene when he talks about me, to me, he was just anxious, so he was overacting. I could see that. I didn't say anything. And Gadge came up and he said, you're doing great. Just say the words. And that's all he said to him, and he's marvelous in the movie. But on location in Hoboken, people were so excited that we were going to be filming at night. They were excited for about 4 days. Then they wanted us to get out of there. It's very unusual that people really love you by the end of the first week when you're filming. But that apartment belonged to, they were renting, I guess, a young couple who were just married, and they needed money, so they rented out the apartment to the company. And I worried about that all the time. I was so saddened by the fact that they couldn't get into their little nest, that all the cables and all these strangers, and I would see on the floor all the markings from all the camera and the wheels and everything. So I said to the first assistant, I said, I hope you leave this place exactly the way it was the day we looked at it. He said, oh, yes, Miss Saint. I'm sure. I believed him.
The script is amazing for this film. It is written by Bud Schulberg, and he had worked with Kazan on crafting it back and forth before you all got involved. I'm wondering, though, if there are moments in the film, because you're working with all Actors Studios folk, and you all were so used to improvisation, were there moments where you went off script, where Kazan allowed you just to kind of
never,
you know,
you never went
explore.
Off script. Yes. Now, people talk about there's a love scene and a glove scene. The glove scene is very famous because everybody has a different take how and why it happened. Now, tonight, you're going to get the truth. It was my glove in a scene with Marlon Brando, and this is what happened. I find this interesting. I hope you do. Before we would shoot any scene, we would have been rehearsing in another room while Gadge was filming a scene and maybe waiting for the lights and all the different things that go on. He would leave that scene and come to see what we were doing and how we were doing it, because we were next up to bat, so to speak. So we were rehearsing the scene, and as I said, I was a Catholic girl. I was not that familiar with the opposite sex. I wasn't out late at night. I lived a very secluded life with my family. And suddenly we're in the park, and here's this handsome young man. And she wants to stay, but why should she stay? She hasn't been brought up that way. So it was a difficult scene. There was nothing really to keep me in the scene. As fate would have it, I, Eva Marie, dropped my glove. And I'm always dropping glove. And I dropped the glove in the scene. And Marlon, he picked it up and continued the scene. We didn't stop. I didn't pick it up. He picked it up, and he started caressing it in a very sensual way, which you'll see on screen. Neither one of us said anything. We continued the scene, but we knew instinctively as actors that that will keep us in the scene. That will keep us talking to one another. The fact that he has my glove, I have to get my glove, it's cold. And then when Gadge came in to see what we were doing and how we were doing it, he said, "I love what you did with this glove. When we do the scene, do it exactly what happened in rehearsal." Now, I am determined to set the record straight. Why? Because it was the brilliance of Marlon Brando to keep going in the scene. Most actors would have picked it up and said, okay, do you want to start the scene again? I wasn't supposed to drop the glove. And so that's what you'll see in the movie.
I want to ask you, Jeffrey and you and I were talking yesterday about your early life in New York, this little apartment you had, and I used to live in Philadelphia and visited New York a lot, and we were talking about kind of the rear window effect of living in an urban center like that and watching all your neighbors who you maybe never meet, but you have a relationship with just because you see them in their living environment, and they see you. And you had an interesting story about one of your neighbors there.
Oh, he was telling this story. We lived at 26 West 9th Street in the Village, and we were in the back court about, I don't know, third or fourth floor, and we would look out into a little courtyard. And across the way, and the shades were always up, like rear window, I would see this gentleman playing chess with his wife or his son sometime. And I just thought it was a beautiful scene looking down. And anyway, one day I drove from the set of On the Waterfront with Boris Kaufman, who is the cinematographer. He won an Oscar, by the way, for A Waterfront. And we were driving back, and he said, "Eva Marie, where do you live?" And I said, 26 West 9th Street. "And where do you live?" He said, "Oh, this is convenient. I live on 26 West 9th Street." So we parked the car. I got out, walked in the apartment, and he walked right next apartment there. And I said, "Oh, my God, you live here? I live here." And then later, I looked down. There's the light on. There's the shades up. He's playing chess with his wife and son. And I mean, you never know. All those years, I was looking at this brilliant cinematographer, never knowing that someday he would be doing On the Waterfront.
And that's a New York story.
It is a New York story. And the first day he said, "Eva Marie, can you act without frowning?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, no." I've had these. I took tennis lessons at one time, and the teacher said, "Eva Marie, can you hit a ball without frowning?" I said, "No, I've gone through my life saying, no, they're there. I've had them since I was three, I think.
So did Boris Kaufman was trying to direct you at certain moments?
Oh, he was. He probably would have preferred that I didn't frown, but that's it.
Boris was an amazing cinematographer, and you'll see his work here. He was from Poland and had worked a lot in Europe, so just the whole look and feel of this film was so different. And it came out at an interesting time when, you know, CinemaScope had just come out, films were going to color, the studios were really fighting back against the drop in attendance at theaters because of television. And there's Elia Kazan still making this hard-hitting, black-and-white, on-location film about crime and punishment and redemption and love. It's the apex, I think, of what he was able to do. And then, you know, films really became color. And I can't imagine this film making it through the pipeline a year or two later.
Yeah, there's something about black and white that I've appreciated in the later years. We look out and we see color, but when it's on screen, it seems a little exaggerated. I'm a little distracted by the color. I'm not in real life, but I am on screen. And when you see black and white, it's so honest. It's so truthful, although it's not. I mean, you tell me, you're the scholar, but all I know is that I feel more for the film when it's black and white.
We certainly feel for this film because of you. You are the heart of the film, and without Eva Marie Saint and Edie, you know, every time Marlon Brando is around you, we go back to his pigeon coop and the delicateness with which he handles his pigeons, and he loves these pigeons. And you're that little ray of hope that is his salvation, ultimately.
Yes, it's an interesting... Now, on the lighter side, it was so cold, and I was a skier, and underneath my dress, I had on bright red leotards to keep warm. And when the morale got low, I'd lift up my skirts and do the can-can. Right on the waterfront for all the shoremen. And everybody liked it. As a matter of fact, when the movie was over, Kazan decided he needed another close-up. He needed a close-up of my character. And I said, well, I was skiing, and when I come back, I'll do it. And I got back, and they did it, and they couldn't use it because I was so much healthier. I had rosy cheeks, even though it's black and white. They couldn't use it. It just shows you when you're in a film and you're working on the character, you really become that person for a while. And then out of there, ski slopes, skiing, fun, coming back, and Edie was gone.
The last thing I want to ask you about a scene which is really incredible in the film is you and Marlon Brando are being chased by a truck down an alley, and they're trying to kill you both. The corrupt bosses have decided that you've made enough mischief. Tell us about the making of that scene.
That was a very scary scene because we were being followed by a truck is coming down to do away with us. The truck was so close, I didn't dare tell my husband that night what we shot. I didn't want him to know about it. What happened, too, was we were running. Marlon is supposed to open this door, which is a little store along the way of the street, and they had neglected to unlock the door. Movies can be dangerous. So Marlon, what he did was he broke through the glass, unlocked it, opened the door so we got out of the way of that truck, which is just whoosh, by. Yeah, it's very, so you wait for that and just say it could have been a catastrophe.
So the blood we see on Marlon Brando is
yes,
real.
Yes, that was real. So he saved his life and my life, so you'll see he's a good guy.
And now all these years later, you've saved our lives. This has been a delight.
Well, this has been so wonderful.
I hope everyone feels this has been a special night. Thank you so much for sharing.
And thank you for coming. My God, you've been such fun.
Eva Marie Saint.
Thank you. Thank you.
The proceeding was a conversation with Eva Marie Saint about the making of the 1954 film On the Waterfront, recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 3rd, 2012. Eva Marie Saint made her screen debut in the film and would win the Oscar for her performance in the film. On the Waterfront has just been restored by Sony Pictures and released on Blu-ray and DVD by the Criterion Collection. The new deluxe release includes an extended interview with Miss Saint. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.